This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon. We're covering all kinds of diverse topics on the program this week, and we start out with an update on Peace at Home Advocacy Center. Melody Prummer, the executive director, and Jordan Jungworth, the board chair. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
So one of the things we wanted to talk about today, you pointed out that you've got a strategic plan up, and you know, a lot of organizations don't always do really well at the planning process, and it seems like you've put a lot of emphasis in that.
Absolutely. Our strategic plan's renewal timeline came at a really interesting time for Peace at Home, right amidst the pandemic. And so our board of directors, and with Melanie's leadership, we actually stewarded our way through the planning process, which took us about a year, all over virtual meetings with a consultant who helped guide us through really meaningful reflection about the services and the mission of our organization and the gaps in services that our community provides to help build a better direction for the years forward.
Yeah. What about putting a plan like this together right as, oh, there's a pandemic?
There were definitely challenges. However, it was really important to us, especially during that time, to be very responsive to our community and innovative, which are some of our guiding principles. So if you were to read our strategic plan on the website, you would be able to see that. So this was really the time to do it, which is one of the reasons why we actually hired two consultants that had different expertise. One was to help us build some programming around being culturally responsive, especially to our Black and Indigenous communities. And then the other consultant really helped us with like the bigger picture for the organization. So like funding wise, what were our needs to be able to provide all of the dreams that our advocates and the people we serve have to be a better agency to respond to the need that that people have in our community, whether it be around shelter or housing, or whether it be around education and community outreach, or even some of our other programs like our sexual assault response services.
So how important was it to plan both for the short term and the very long term?
Well, it was really important to certainly plan for some of the short term, because during that time that we were really diving deep into the strategic planning process, we purchased a hotel, which was a very different model for us. So it's non-congregate shelter. Absolutely was a great idea. We have no regrets in being able to provide more safety for people by having their own units versus sharing a house together. And we've been able to serve more people. And so that really required some planning. We actually, in addition to the strategic plan, then dived into some work groups where we had staff members break up into groups to really look at how to provide services in a more equitable way, and then how to develop those programs so that we were transparent for the community and the people that were accessing our services, like the hotel.
And it seems like this hotel model, I mean, obviously you weren't the only organization that went that route, but it seems like in the long term there's going to be more of that.
Yeah, so we were one of several agencies, yes, around the state, so the only one at that time in Douglas County. We've actually developed a learning community with these other hotels around the state, which has been great. We're meeting quarterly to learn from each other. But ADAPT is right behind us, like literally right behind us. They hopefully will open their hotel very soon. I know that it's been under construction, and construction is, you know, it's not always the easiest thing to navigate. So we're really proud of ADAPT and really excited to see the work that they are also going to do in addition to like the supportive services that you provide in those hotels.
And Jordan, I'm curious how you ended up getting involved on the board.
Yeah, I actually started at Peace at Home as a volunteer. I signed up to be one of the volunteer advocates just about 10 years ago, and went through the 40 hours of training, helped with some of the youth programs, and I moved away from the community for a short period of time. And when I moved back, Melanie had a conversation with me about getting involved again as a volunteer, and we also explored me joining the board. And so I started as a board member and stepped into a secretary role a little bit later, and my involvement has deepened over the years. And so, yeah, I'm just short of 7 years on the board.
How many people do you tend to have on the board?
Yeah, so we typically have 11 board members. We can have up to 15 board members. We are looking for folks with different experiences and skill sets so that we can do the best job possible for our community. And so it's not necessarily about filling every position. It's about having the right people with the passion for this work joining us.
So as you have gone through the strategic plan and looked down the road, what are some of the real long-term goals or things that you would like to add into the mix of services you're providing?
Do you want me to start, Jordan?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, there is so many exciting things, and we've already launched many of the programs that we were looking at doing as part of our long-term plan. And one of them has been able to provide prevention programming for youth in our community around dating violence prevention. So this last year, we hired an advocate. She's also co-located at Umpqua Community College, so she provides services out there as a Peace at Home advocate. And then her other half-time position is then providing education in schools to students and also being available to do consultation with staff as well within schools. And the response has been, I'm going to use the word overwhelming, in a really good way, that most schools are very interested in having this programming. We just need to figure out as an agency now how to grow our staff to be able to provide that programming and also recruit some volunteers to support the work.
So obviously this is a growing issue. As you look at some of the problems in the community, do we tend to mirror other areas of the state, or are there issues here that are more at the forefront?
I think I would say yes, we would mirror most other communities around the state. Of course, each community is a little bit different. I think that from our advocates' perspective, I mean, we're certainly seeing, more gun violence within intimate partner relationships, even with very young people, 18, 19 years of age. And I can't really speak to whether that's happening in other communities. We're pretty involved in really understanding our issues here with law enforcement and have really strong partnerships with law enforcement. But in talking to my peers, I think the common thing that we are all experiencing is that the call volume is going up across the state, I imagine across the nation, and it leads to things like burnout and vicarious trauma with our staff. And so managing that in the work that we do is probably our greatest challenge.
Do you think some of the mental health challenges that sort of came out of the pandemic have intensified some of these issues?
I don't know if we can really tie all of it to the pandemic per se. I think that, and Jordan can speak to this, around housing, and we had a housing crisis before the pandemic, but it's definitely, even though we've increased some of our housing in the community, we're still not meeting the need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we've had so many other partner organizations, increasing their shelter beds and transitional housing programs, but it still hasn't quite taken the mark off the growing need.
Mm-hmm. And I think for most of the people that we're serving who are experiencing houselessness or homelessness, they have some income, but the income does not cover their rent and utilities. And so there's, you know, all these other challenges and stressors that have come out of the last 3 years.
All right, more when we come back on Peace at Home Advocacy Center, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson at 1 tomorrow. We give you a preview of this summer's Douglas County Fair. That's on Inside Douglas County on Tuesday. Melanie Prummer, Executive Director, and Jordan Chungworth, Board Chair of Peace at Home Advocacy Center, in here today. You talked about having 11 board members. I'm curious what you look for in a board member.
Yeah, so first and foremost, I think in anybody that's interested in coming to our board, we are really looking for a passion for the services our organization provides and for the work that all of our advocates and the team at Peace at Home does day in and day out to support survivors. More specifically, Melanie has done a great job of leading our board through board mapping exercises to, you know, get a good sense of what are strengths that current board members do have and where are areas that our organization needs to, leverage and engage new board members with different strengths that maybe the ones that are on the board and don't have as refined. So it is a bit of a process on that end. First and foremost, a passion for this work.
And about how many hours a month does a board member tend to contribute?
It's usually a couple of hours a month until we hit fundraising season, which is coming up very soon. And board members become a little more active in securing sponsorships and, of course, attending the event and helping with some of the logistics of the event, which is in February, usually end of February. However, we've already secured our date for this year, which is March 2nd. That'll be new for us, and we'll be back at Seven Feathers. But some of the board members, like the skill sets that we're looking for currently, is it would be really great to have someone on our board who has prior experience or currently working for law enforcement or with law enforcement. We also are looking for someone with strength in financial oversight, so whether like a CPA or someone who has experience in like payroll, things like that, because board members of course do oversight, not daily operations. Of course I get to do all that fun stuff, but having board members that can certainly understand the financials and be able to look at them and be able to inform other board members who have less experience in that area would be really wonderful.
What kind of training do you provide to board members, and what areas does it cover?
Yeah, so we actually are required through one of our contracts through Department of Human Services to provide a minimum of 12 hours training for board members. And that training, most of it can be done online. Some of it can be done one-on-one with myself. And throughout the year, we also offer in-person group trainings. And that includes everything from understanding the dynamics of domestic violence all the way to understanding services we provide to survivors of sexual assault, also learning more about trauma and how trauma impacts people, both physically and mentally, and then like organizationally, what our organization can do to be responsive to mitigating the impacts of trauma and vicarious trauma with staff.
Now, outside of board members, are there other opportunities for people in the community to get involved?
Absolutely. We're always looking for volunteers for many aspects of our programs, including the gala itself. We're going to be putting together a gala planning committee. So if we have any party planners out there in the community that love our event, we'd love to find a place for you on that committee. And of course, donations and
Yeah, like we've had groups that get together and do like toilet paper drives or underwear drives, which is great. So if you're already part of a group that would like to just do something fun, you can get involved that way. We also have volunteers who receive over 40 hours of training. Most of that, again, is online, as well as doing some job shadowing, where you can get more involved in answering the 24-hour hotline, assisting people if they walk into our office during the day, maybe even helping people access and file for a protective order at the courthouse. Or even being involved in some activities at our shelter, maybe reading to children, doing craft activities, being involved in our resident meetings. The sky's the limit. There's lots of things to do, for sure.
Talk about that 24-hour hotline. I mean, it seems sort of obvious that with the areas you work in, you'd need something like that. But that, I mean, that means 24 hours means 24 hours. How do you get that staffed?
Yeah. Well, every single person at Peace at Home takes a shift in answering calls that come in on our crisis line, including myself, and we're in a rotation, and so staff, you know, are on call for a week and do that every few weeks. It's great when we have volunteers that can step in and take calls for an evening, even on weekends during the day, to help out some of our paid staff who work 40 hours on top of answering the crisis line. It definitely can bring some respite to them. But yeah, it's and our calls, though, can be taken anywhere. So our advocates are not sitting by a desk phone all night long. So we definitely have to train ourselves to wake up in the middle of the night and jump out of bed and take a call, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. But yeah, that's how we answer our crisis calls and our
now,
rotation.
Do you? I would imagine there are periods of time where, thankfully, you don't get any calls for, you know, an extended period of time. But then I imagine there are other times when it's one right after another.
Yeah, I would say when. I mean, there's no ebb or flow to this. There's no rhyme or reason to it. And I would say in the last 4 years, the call volume is definitely much higher. And so you might take several calls throughout the night, and they're not always back to back. And so you're up and down all night. Our sexual assault response team in the last year has definitely been busier more than ever, taking calls and responding to the emergency department to support someone who's been sexually assaulted. But yeah, I think that we are taking, well, I know we're taking calls every night. There isn't like days that go by where we don't take a call.
Now, for overall service, how many people does your agency serve in an average year?
Yeah, on average, we're serving about 1,200 folks and up to 4,000 crisis calls. So of those calls that Melanie was just talking about with the 24-hour line, on average, we've been getting 4,000 of them a year.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually a higher number than I would have imagined, which means you've got to have all these people ready to go.
Yeah. Well, and I think this is a great time to do a shout out to the mobile crisis team that is, part of ADAPT Integrated Care, since they've been able to hire folks to respond to calls. It definitely helps the people who are calling us who may need that additional support. So we appreciate their partnership and also being able to be reached 24/7.
All right. Melanie Prummer, Jordan Chungworth from Peace at Home Advocacy Center. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.